If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay. I thought this was going to be a straightforward mailbag episode of Gabbing with Gib today, but yesterday, Monday, April 15th, was one of those big news days for Bravo fans where it just seemed like update after update after update was dropping. So let's break that down up top here before I get to your great listener questions today. By the way, I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and welcome to a bunch of new listeners who subscribed over the weekend after my appearance on Sheena's podcast, Shenanigans. The Sheena effect is real. That episode dropped on Friday, so go listen to that if you have not already. I had the best time with her and Hannah Berner from Summer House talking all things Vanderpump Rules, reality TV, life after reality TV for Hannah, and a bunch of other sort of random life things, but gotten some great feedback from that. So go listen to it if you have not already. And again, welcome to everybody who's new here. Anyway, okay, so the first big news going into the week that took the internet by storm, or at least the Bravo corner of the internet by storm, was that Teresa and Louis saddled up to Taylor Swift in the crowd at Coachella on Sunday. First, we got that video of Louis like trying to take a selfie with Taylor in the background or something, but then he posted a proper photo of Teresa posing with Taylor in her pink cowboy hat. And I just have about 5 million questions. One, does Taylor know who Teresa Giudice is? Does she know her importance to the history of reality TV and Bravo and Real Housewives? Surely she knows about the table flip, right? Like, that's been mentioned everywhere over the years, so surely she knows about that. But does she watch? She does not necessarily seem like the type on the surface, but Taylor is also full of surprises, so who knows? I need to know what Louis and Taylor said to her to get the photo. I need to know what Taylor said back to them. I need to know if they just continued to stand near one another after taking the photo or if they walked away after getting what they wanted. I need to know what Taylor said to Travis after wrapping up the interaction with Tree and Louis. As Sam Bush, Bravo historian, said, that photo broke my brain. But you know what? Good for Teresa. Good for Louis. They got what we all wanted, a photo with Taylor Swift. So then Monday morning comes along, and it's not even 9 a.m. when news starts to circulate that Robin Dixon confirmed on her podcast with Giselle, Reasonably Shady, of course, confirming news on her podcast like she tends to do. She confirmed that she is not returning to The Real Housewives of Potomac next season. And this is what she said. She said, yes, I will not be returning for season 9 of The Real Housewives of Potomac. It's reality. The network did not invite me back. I was fired, for lack of better words. I will not sugarcoat the situation and say, ooh, I'm walking away and this is a break or anything like this. This is a network decision. I'm okay with it because nothing lasts forever. I've had a long run on the show and I really appreciate that time and the opportunity that I had on the show. I'm having a full RHOP-focused end-of-season deep dive episode on Friday, so I'll get even more into this then. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again now that it's official. This was the correct decision. Robin had a really solid run, and she was genuinely integral to building Potomac at the height of its powers. But her past season and a half, two seasons, have been tough, honestly. Juan hindered her by checking out, not showing up, and truly not being game to discuss the scandal going into the season, which could have been sort of like a thing that reinvigorated Robin's time on the show, but instead it sort of took away. Them shying away from addressing it head on and really being forthcoming about it all and not understanding why people wanted them to be forthcoming about it. That was sort of like the last straw, I think. So yeah, it just felt like it was time for Robin to leave the show. Who knows if she'll have a future on it further down the road, but I really felt like this was the right time. And you know what? Like, I'm excited to see what Giselle does without her wingwoman. You know, I think they both became comfortable with one another. They both sort of had this, you know, built-in forever ally in each other. And I think seeing Giselle without that will be really interesting. How does it free her up? How does she react to not having, again, that built-in wingwoman, that built-in ally? You know, I'm excited to see that. Giselle's an amazing housewife, and I think that she has gotten a little comfortable. So let's see her be a little bit more uncomfortable with maybe not that sort of guaranteed alliance with somebody. And I will say, like, kudos to Robin for being so, you know, upfront about the fact that she was fired. You know, a lot of the time Bravo lets the women reveal the news on their own, and they kind of are allowed to, you know, skew it as like, I'm walking away from the show, my time on the show is ending, something like that. That's not as like overtly like, oh, I was fired, I was not asked back for next season. But I kind of love that Robin was just like, yeah, I was fired, I would have come back if I could have. So, you know, for as much as I think it's the right decision, I also really respect Robin for being so upfront and honest about the reason why she's not coming back. So the next piece of news was reported initially by the Jasmine brand, which is the same outlet that first reported that Robin was not coming back. So they have some credibility in this space for sure. They clearly have a good source on Potomac's production that is feeding them this information. They reported on Monday that NECA is also out of RHOP after just one season on the show. I'm not surprised or heartbroken by this news, honestly. NECA seems nice, and she might have had some potential, truly. But her first season got completely bogged down by that, like, complex and very hard to follow feud with Wendy. And I just don't think that there was any recovering from that. That whole storyline just like dug her into this deep hole that I think that she started to climb out of towards the end of the season. Like, I started to like what I was seeing from NECA, but I just think it was too steep of a hill to climb. And again, no recovering from that. And, you know, I wouldn't have been mad if she had gotten another chance for another season coming back for season 9. But again, ultimately, not the biggest loss to not have NECA coming back to Potomac, and it frees up another spot for some new blood, some refreshing energy for like a fresh restart. Okay, then it comes out that Todd has filed for divorce from Alexia from The Real Housewives of Miami. He filed at the end of last week, but the news just came out on Monday. The Real Housewives of Miami cameras are not up right now. They're in the midst of a rumored between seasons cast shakeup and extended break. So they will probably be back in production this fall or something like that. I got a fan question submitted before the submissions closed on this, though, about Alexia and Todd. So I'll get more into my thoughts on that news later in this episode. But obviously, I was very disappointed to hear that. But again, I have thoughts, so keep listening for those later on. The next piece of news was good news. Candace Dillard Bassett and Chris Bassett are expecting their first child together. Candace announced via an interview with Bryce at ET, who was just on this podcast. Go listen to that episode if you didn't listen to it already, that she is pregnant. People immediately clocked that the news kind of stole some of Robin's thunder, but both of these announcements were definitely separately planned to come out the day after part 3 of the reunion, the end of their season, which it's a very common time to drop big news about the cast and all those things. And you know that these were planned announcements, and you also know that these two did not coordinate with one another. They are not on good terms. So the stealing of the thunder was likely not intentional, but still kind of hilarious timing. I'm so happy for Candace and Chris, and I actually think that it's a very healthy decision to go through this journey off camera for them. I think Candace clearly needed a break from the show, and what a wonderful way to embrace that change by going through another huge life change. So I'm really happy for them. I think with Candace, it's one of those things where it's like, she is such a star. She brought a lot to this show. She contributed a lot, but I think that either her relationship to the show, you know, was getting a little bit iffy, and she seemed to be a little bit over it and kind of really frustrated with this whole experience. So I think for her, it's sort of like step away, start her family, kind of get back into a settled place. And then I'm sure she'll be back on the show at some point in the future. I really do. This baby news just kind of, kind of solidifies what I already was feeling about her decision to leave the show, which is that it was the right decision for her. I don't think this is the last we'll see from Candace. And I'm actually really curious to see how motherhood changes her and evolves her. And I don't know, it's just really exciting to hear. So the next piece of news, which I thought was the final piece of news, I put together this whole outline for this podcast today after this news came out. But there was actually another thing that came out after. Anyway, so on Monday afternoon, by the late afternoon when I was recording this, the last piece of news was that Jennifer Pedranti from The Real Housewives of OC is engaged to her boyfriend, Ryan. He proposed to her last week. And I honestly really love Jennifer. I mean, you know, I thought she had a pretty solid first season. I think she got a little bit weighed down by Tamra bringing her on and then sort of coming for her. But she kind of held her own. And I'm excited to see what the second season looks like for her. So I'm thrilled for her. And according to the People piece that broke the news about their engagement, she flew directly from the cast trip in London to meet Ryan in the Bahamas, which is where he proposed. And I'm guessing that it was on camera, but in the pictures that were in the People article, they don't seem to be mic'd. So who knows how much we'll see of it on the show. Maybe it will be like cell phone footage or one of those sort of treatments. But it's just honestly another feather in the cap of this upcoming season of OC. Like, I'm really excited for it. It seems like it's going to be kind of epic. There's a lot going for it. There's a lot going on, and not that much has leaked. I mean, there was that audio of Tamra and Shannon fighting on their London trip, but we don't really have all the context for that clip. So I think honestly that just helps, you know, amp up the intrigue about what we're going to get this season. I don't love leaks from production. I think it's much better when things don't leak onto social media. So I love that a lot of it's been kind of under lock and key. We obviously know that Shannon and Alexis is a thing, that Tamra and Shannon are a thing. But there's a lot going for the season of OC, and Jennifer's engagement is just another thing to look forward to. But yeah, as I just said, I was literally in the middle of recording this intro of this episode, going through the news of the day, when one of the bigger updates of the day dropped at like 6 p.m. So I paused the recording to make sure that I could include it here. The Daily Mail was the first to report that Crystal Kung-Minkoff won't be back on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills next season. Crystal was on the show for 3 seasons, and the outlet says that they don't want her back because they feel she has done all she can do on the show and she no longer has much to add to the drama. So another contract has not been offered. They appreciate her contributions to the show and the parting is not ugly, but it is just time to move on. She wanted to leave the show for a while and she is sick of all the fighting and hashing things out. It became like a never-ending roller coaster for her. Plus, she wants to focus on her family away from the cameras. Right after the article broke, Crystal posted a lengthy video on her Instagram confirming the news. So clearly the leak was coordinated and she had this video ready to go. But I thought the video was great. And in a completely unsurprising turn of events, she was very graceful about the decision, which was clearly not hers and came from the network. But she thanked all the fans, the network, and production. She talked about all the things that she was open about during her time on the show, being the first Asian American cast member on the franchise. And she just handled it overall extremely well, which again is not a surprise, but it really is one of the better exit announcements from Real Housewives that I have ever seen. Crystal was always such a joy to interview, and she was always very generous with me. I interviewed her during each of her 3 seasons, including once for this show. And I remember telling her that third time that she seemed the most at ease with this experience that I could remember her being. And she confirmed that to be the case. Because I remember during those first 2 interviews that I did with her, I asked her both times if she would want to come back to the show. Because her space on the show felt tenuous during those first 2 seasons, I felt, because even though I think she had solid seasons, she seemed a little bit uneasy in terms of her relationship to the show and what she wanted out of it and whether she enjoyed herself, I think, on the show. And, you know, that speaks to the fact that I think we got more seasons out of Crystal than I actually ever expected us to. So I'm grateful for that. But I'm definitely disappointed to hear this news because I really felt like she was coming into her own and she really had a great back half of last season and reunion. But I guess ultimately, if you think about it, like the cast never fully accepted Crystal. It always felt like they sort of like put up with her or barely tolerated her. And then actually gave her solid conflict in the end. Like she worked with that and with that tension, and she would call it out on the reunions especially. And she was never intimidated by that. But I'm guessing production just sort of recognized that tension and sort of saw that it was sort of an unsolvable issue within this cast, and it kind of hindered the gelling. And again, that's not really her doing. It just kind of a lot of the rest of the cast, again, never fully accepted her as one of their own. But Crystal also like never really needed the show. She doesn't need the show. She has an amazing, solid, stable family life. She has Disney money. She has her own coconut water business called Real Coco that she built. It's worth over $100 million. So she's good. I just wish that we were getting more of her. I really love Crystal as a person, and I ended up really loving her on the show. So that was disappointing news to end the day. But anyway, I'm still processing all of this, so I might have more thoughts going forward. But those are my thoughts right now on everything that came out on Monday, that big news dump in the Bravo world. But it also came out the same day that a bunch of Vault Bravo shows dropped on Peacock. So it was already a day we were looking forward to, honestly, as Bravo fans. The Rachel Zoe Project, NYC Prep, Real Housewives of DC, Tabitha Takes Over, Shaws of Sunset, and more shows are now streaming on Peacock. They weren't available to watch anywhere until now. So I'm actually going to binge watch NYC Prep and The Real Housewives of DC. And I'm going to do some bonus episodes on those for this podcast. I already have somebody lined up who is going to rewatch NYC Prep as well. I'm talking to some of The Real Housewives of DC to potentially come on to reflect on the show, to do a look back interview of sorts. It's exciting. I'm excited to sort of, because I watched both those shows when they were on over 10 years ago, but I'm really excited to revisit those and see how they've aged and sort of see how the evolution of Housewives as sort of like a universe informs, I don't know, how it was back then, especially on Real Housewives of DC. So yeah, look forward to that. And yeah, so make sure you subscribe to Gabbing with Gib. Please give us a 5-star rating or a positive review if you're enjoying the show. And let's jump into these listener questions. And reminder, if you want to submit for the next mailbag, make sure you're following me and the show on Instagram. Both of those profiles are linked in the show notes. But yeah, let's jump into listener questions. Okay, so Cameron Hill on Instagram asked if Sheena is tracking my location now that I've done her podcast. Hilarious. Thank you, Cameron. If you listened to my episode of Shenanigans from last Friday with Hannah Burner, you'll know that while I don't think it's creepy that Sheena has so many people's locations, because I have friends who also are the same way, nobody in the world has my location. I don't share my location with anybody, and it's staying that way. Thank you very much. If Sheena asked for it, I would consider giving it to her, honestly, just for shits and gigs. But at this point, at this juncture, my location is safe with me. And again, thank you for everyone who gave that episode a listen. We had a solid amount of new listeners because of that appearance. So welcome again to everyone who is new here. And also, when I tell you that Hannah and I were dying at Sheena's comment about Jax doing too much pasta, I was like shook. I was like, oh my God, she's going there. And I know Sheena is like an easy punchline, especially on social media, but honestly, I admire her hustle and her commitment to the reality TV stardom that she has. Like, she really is committed to it on all fronts and all respects, and I respect that myself. She's willing to be in on the joke sometimes, which I also appreciate and I think is really necessary if you're in her position. So honestly, kudos to her. She was fantastic. She reached out to me to be on her show, and I was just really honored to be a part of it. So thank you, Sheena. We love you here. Bravo149298 on Twitter asks, what are your thoughts on BravoCon taking a year off? It's very clearly successful and profitable. Do you think the whole reality reckoning or Leah's lawsuits are factors? No, I don't think those are factors at all. I think that us as fans and viewers and maybe the press and media, I think those are bigger deals to us than those are to Bravo. I think Bravo is too big to take down at this point. I am not interested in taking it down. I think the reality reckoning was kind of a flop. I think that, you know, it brought up some valid points and all that. And NBCU and Bravo have made some changes as a result. But ultimately, like, I don't think those are factors in not having BravoCon. I think it's the correct move to skip BravoCon this year. Last year's BravoCon was incredible. They found a perfect venue for it. It's such a moment. But I also think that it happening annually might take the excitement out of it a little bit. It's better to sort of build up more storyline, more drama, solidify any new talent that's been added to shows and all that jazz, so that when you get to BravoCon, there's a lot more to unpack. When you bring everyone together, there should be a lot to address, sort of a lot of elephants in the room, I think, that usually do get addressed. So why not build up some of that, you know, and don't, because I feel like if they had BravoCon this fall, like, there wouldn't be as much to talk about, as much to announce. And it just feels more special when it's every other year, I think. And I also think that right now there are so many shows on Bravo that are in various states of flux, whether they're like extended breaks, cast shakeups. There are a lot of shows filming right now and not a ton airing right now. So it's smart to allow the schedule to shake out again, settle a bit more, spread out a bit more. And then we can all convene in Vegas in the fall of 2025. And I better see a lot of you there. David Kane on Twitter asks, if the current New Jersey cast arrangement is indeed unsustainable, per Andy Cohen, what makes the most sense for this series going forward? So in case you missed it, it got picked up on social media that Bryce Sanders said on my podcast 2 weeks ago that Andy Cohen had told him at BravoCon that this current divided Jersey cast was not sustainable to fix the show's Teresa-Melissa problem going forward. But he also followed that up by saying on his radio show last week that it did work for this season. So this season, he says, is going to be great, but it just probably won't be the fix for future seasons, which I understand. So the problem, obviously, is that we have Teresa and Melissa who nobody wants another season about their conflict. But how much can they really coexist in a way that is like fruitful for the show without getting into conflict again? And then sort of, again, we kind of jumping back into this cycle. So, you know, I don't want to make too much of a judgment call about Real Housewives of New Jersey and how they move forward before I've even seen one episode of the season. There's a lot that we're going to see before we can all come up with our own suggestions about how the show should move forward. But I did think that even after last season with the wedding, that it would be kind of the perfect send-off for Teresa. She would be getting her fairy tale ending after living so much of her family and adult life on national television. She's gone through a lot of turmoil for us on camera. But that being said, like, I don't think Teresa's going anywhere. She's one of the most prominent faces of the network. She's so widely loved. I mean, like, she's definitely divisive, but a lot of people love Teresa and she's ingrained in the history of this franchise and this network. So if she can still shake it up with Louis, I would be very surprised if she left the show after this season, which I guess means that Melissa would have to be the one to go. But I also think that Melissa is a lot more grounded and like malleable and open to new people in a real way, which makes her an easier candidate to fit into a future potentially rebooted or reshuffled cast. So honestly, I don't really know. I don't think they should both go. I don't think that the answer is like cleaning house, because to me, Jersey is such a unique franchise and that it has to be about family. It has to be about these really interconnected blood relationships. And I think if they get rid of Teresa and Melissa, they'd lose that completely, and then it becomes a different show in some respects. And yeah, I don't know, like, I love Rachel Fuda, I love Danielle Cabral for the show. They've breathed new life into the show in a similar way that like Jennifer Aydin and Jackie Goldschneider did when they joined. But that being said, I also think that they need more time for the audience to get attached to them in a real way. So I don't think that centering the show around them is really the answer either. Jersey is a tough one because so many of these women have been on the show for a very long time. It's difficult to imagine what it would look like without some of them. So it's a tough nut to crack. I'm looking forward to seeing how this season is, who really steps up to the plate. But yeah, I don't have a full answer for you, but my gut is that they go with Teresa. That's my gut. But who knows? John Conahan on Instagram asks, if Miami is getting a shakeup, who do you think might be on the chopped list from Bravo? And then similarly, Lou Loves Bravo on Twitter asked for my thoughts on Todd leaving Alexia. Okay, so we've really gotten no hints about what this cast shakeup is going to be. But with the news that Todd filed for divorce from Alexia at the end of last week, to me, that should solidify her status on the show once more. She's the Teresa of Miami in so many ways, and her life just like seems like it's one of those that's just going to continue giving storyline. It's Teresa, it's Luann, it's these people that just like constantly have big things happening in their life, and I think it makes for great TV. So I definitely think that Alexia should and will continue to be sort of like the central force of this show. But anyway, I feel for her. Like, I hope that she is holding up amid this news. I always kind of liked Todd for her. They seemed like a solid couple, I guess. But it also did kind of always feel like there was more behind the scenes from him that we didn't see. Like, those weird social media videos that he would post kind of told me that. A few hours after the news broke that Todd had filed, Alexia put out a statement on her own Instagram story saying, I'm shocked and heartbroken that Todd has chosen to dissolve our marriage. I will take comfort in the fact that my friends and family will be by my side supporting me during this difficult time. I'm praying for better days ahead. So obviously she didn't see this coming, and that again breaks my heart. I don't think it's a coincidence that Todd filed for divorce from Alexia while the cameras weren't rolling. Remember, at the beginning of last season, when Alexia hosted the season's first big cast party at her apartment, he was a no-show because he couldn't face the heat over his embarrassing social media video apologizing to Dr. Nicole's partner, Anthony. Looking back, that was a sign that this wasn't what he thought he signed up for. Todd did not expect to become the butt of the joke or have the spotlight on him in this way. I do think he wanted the limelight that Alexia brought to their relationship, but he only wanted it in a positive way. He wanted to have his cake and eat it too. And when the light got too bright on him, he shrunk away and was much less involved last season. He was much more prominent in the season before, if you can remember. And my totally unconfirmed guess is that he just couldn't handle the heat, so he got out of the kitchen. And it's not just the spotlight, but also Alexia's fairly complicated family situation. Like, Alexia has a complicated life. He seemed like he knew what he was signing up for and that he was game for that. But maybe it became too much for him. I don't know. And again, like, I think that he should have just manned up and stuck it out with her. But while he seemed like a committed stepfather, there's definitely a lot of baggage. And I bet that he ultimately just couldn't handle it. I hope Alexia gets a good deal from him, solid money out of this, and goes on to bigger and better things. Like, I know she really loved him and he represented a fairy tale of sorts to her, but she's also one of those people who loves hard and passionately, as we've seen. And so I'm just feeling for her right now, and I hope that her family and friends are indeed there to support her. I hope we see this on the next season of Miami. I think we've been following their relationship. We saw their wedding, and Alexia has proven over the years that she is more than willing to be an open book for the sake of the show and for the sake of moving the show forward. And so I hope we get her thoughts on this in the next season of Miami. And I hope that that break is shorter than they expected it to be for this reason. Anyway, going into the rest of the cast and trying to sort of predict who could be on the chopping block, I would also love to see Larsa stay so we can hear more about the Marcus of it all. And I just think that she's kind of made for this in a wild way. Like, even if you don't find Larsa likable, to me, there's just something so watchable about her. And to me, some of the more vulnerable people on the cast are probably like Marisol and Julia, I would guess. Those are my first guesses. Marisol, because I don't think she's essential to the show anymore. And I think she kind of holds Alexia back sometimes, kind of like Robin to Giselle. So I would love to see Alexia without Marisol as sort of a crutch or sort of a wing woman. And Julia, to me, is probably on that list, even though I love the sort of enigmatic presence that she represents on this cast. I could see her being replaced and representing an open spot for somebody else. Gertie is also someone who I bet could be sort of on that line, though I think it would be kind of a weird look to let somebody go after they spent a season battling cancer. So who knows about that crew, but that's sort of my gut feelings. And as much as I love Adriana, and I think she's been so integral to the show's success during its entire run, but also particularly from these last three rebooted seasons, and she's carried more than her fair share of the load as a friend of, she doesn't bring much personal storyline to the show and can sometimes honestly feel like a little bit of a broken record with the Marisol and Alexia of it all. Like, that feud and that drama kind of just goes in circles if you think about it. So even though it's endlessly entertaining and I love watching her push their buttons, there's a chance the producers want that cycle to be put to rest. I don't know. That being said, like, her intuitions about things going on with her castmates is largely spot on. She was right about Larsa and Marcus. She was right about Alexia and Todd. So I really hope that she sticks around. But again, I was asked to speculate about who could be on the chopping block, and that is my speculation. I mean, I wanted all of them to come back, really. So I'm not really supportive of any of these people losing their jobs or any of these people getting off the show, but clearly some of them are going to. So those are my best guesses as to who they could be. Francisco Farias on Instagram asks, should VPR have a reboot and the oldies go to the Valley? So I think we will get at least one more season of Vanderpump Rules in more or less its current form. I think that Ariana's Love Island hosting duties will coincide with filming for the show this summer, and that's if they maintain their usual schedule. So if that happens, I don't know if logistically she can even return to the show. So kind of all signs, I think, for me, just reading between the lines, point to her maybe either leaving or taking a season off. I would love to see her back on the show. I would take her over Sandoval any day of the week, but she's booked and busy. Last week's episode with Bridget Reed, we talked a lot about these people having off-ramps from the show. And she has more than built her own off-ramp from this show if she wants to take it. And it kind of seems like this is the right time for that to happen, at least temporarily. So I just think that Ariana should continue riding this wave of all these opportunities she's getting, all the popularity she has right now, the huge platform she's built for herself off the back of something really bad that happened to her. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if she came back, pleasantly surprised. So I don't know. Like, to me, the show needs her more than she needs the show at this point. So it would be a power play to step away. There's no way they're going to fire her. But I do think that if she was not on the cast next season, it would free everyone else up to mix it up a little bit more without the proximity to that worry that she could not be happy about it. I'm talking about Sandoval, obviously. But yeah, the ratings for Vanderpump Rules are still amazing, and it's still a cash cow for Bravo, so it's not getting canceled. Don't believe what you see on social media. It's definitely not getting canceled after this season. I do think that the lines between the Valley and Pump Rules will get more blurred, though. And I bet we will see more cameos from the likes of Sheena, Lala, and Schwartz on that show, should it continue. And maybe they eventually graduate into it in a season or two. And to me, that would free up Vanderpump Rules to do a cast shakeup and get back to its roots, which is, to me, an exciting prospect because you kind of get the best of both worlds. So that's sort of what I'm thinking about right now as it comes to the Vanderpump, the Valley universe. Okay, He's a Brick House on Twitter asked, what is my favorite thing about Summer House Martha's Vineyard and what do I think could be improved or changed? So I genuinely love this cast. I love this show. There's a lot of star power, a lot of deep connection, which we love. And there's a lot of drama that can carry the show forward. They're having a really solid second season so far, and I hope they continue that momentum. So I'm going to start by saying what I think is working before I get into what I think can be tweaked to take the show to the next level and to take it even higher. Pretty much everyone on the cast is clocking in to some degree. They're all really game to open up, to confront conflict head on. They're willing to resolve issues very quickly, arguably too quickly, which ties into something I would alter about it. They're also down to have fun. There's a lot of humor, and they have genuine moments of all getting along in a way that's fun and not boring to watch. I love Noelle, the new addition, for many reasons. Shanice is down to party and bring some chaos and humor. Bria is at once entertaining and in her own world and not afraid to initiate conflict either. Jordan and Preston are both huge stars with a genuine friendship and often take things to a heightened emotional level where they find sort of like greater significance in things, which I think is really compelling. Jasmine is a great connector and brings a lot of storyline and some tension. Nick is messy, so is Alex, but in a very different way. Amir is great eye candy and fun. Summer is emerging as a really solid villain-y character that I love. Milo is an icon among us. I think that's everyone. And you know what? They all bring something. And one of the biggest differences in the setup of Martha's Vineyard to the original Summer House is that instead of going out to a share house every weekend throughout the summer, the show takes place over the course of two straight weeks in a share house, meaning that like the longer that they're in this house together without ever leaving, the more drama will amp up, the more tensions will rise. And that setup results in an inevitable raising of the stakes, which makes for good reality TV and bodes well as a season progresses. All that being said, there's definitely a missing element that's preventing it from catching on in a bigger way, I think with like a wider audience. And to me, that's having a bigger conflict, a bigger central conflict. I actually think that the Jasmine Silas of it all, which sometimes was hard to watch last season, provided that. It was this major talking point that was throughout the entire season that viewers wanted to talk about. They wanted to give their opinions on it. They wanted to post about it. They felt passionate about it. And it was a through line throughout the entire season. And I think that helped the show make its impact that first go around. And while the cast is certainly leveling up in a lot of ways during this second season, I think that this season lacks that. It lacks that through line. It's missing that. What's the thing that will get us talking throughout the season? What's that thing that people are going to tweet about throughout the season and tune in throughout the season and watch them address it on Watch Happens Live after the episodes air? We don't really have that right now. And obviously, while I think casting is fantastic on this show, the other thing that I think I would change is that a few too many people on the show are in committed relationships so early in the show's run. And I know for a fact that some people have not been asked back to OG Summer House in the past because they were in relationships and there were already too many couples in the house. And production knows that they need that to make sure that there are enough single people in a house like this to bring hookup potential, to bring hookup drama to the show. And if there aren't enough single people, you're not going to get that. That's, to me, an essential element of these shows. And right now on Martha's Vineyard, you know, we have the Noelle, Summer, Alex thing. You know, we have Nick being handsy, but there's not enough of that single hookup potential energy for a summer share house. And that's an essential element. I don't know exactly what the answer is there, but I do think there are too many people in relationships on this show, which kind of prevents it from having that specific appeal. I mean, regardless, I have immense faith in this show. And I think that those things can be accomplished with just a few tweaks, but I'm really loving this season. It's so entertaining. And watch Martha's Vineyard if you're not already. Trina East on Twitter asks, I'm still confused why Phaedra could come back to Bravo after what happened with Candy. What are your thoughts? So I get the confusion. I see you, I hear you, and I don't blame people for thinking that she should have never been brought back. But ultimately, I think that enough time has passed. Phaedra was punished for what she did. She lost her job for many years at that. She faced the consequences for her actions. Candy continued to be the queen of Atlanta for many years. But Phaedra is a huge star. People love her, and she's proven on several shows at this point that she can get people back into her good graces by being the incredible reality star that she is. I do wish that she had a better answer to the questions about what went down with her and Candy and what aspects of it she owns and apologizes for. Like on Girls Trip, I feel like she barely engaged in that conversation. So that's definitely a little disappointing. But also at this point, it's been so long that nobody really needs rehashing of that in my mind. It's better for everyone to just move forward at this point, in my opinion. And Candy stepped away from Atlanta, so there's kind of an opportunity for Phaedra to be back on Bravo in an even bigger way than she already is. So again, I get the confusion. I get people not being supportive of it, but I'm personally okay with it at this point. I really do think that Phaedra faced consequences for her actions, and I believe that people should be given second chances. MJ on Twitter asked, Traitors, Ultimate Girl Trip, and Winterhouse have all brought back familiar reality faces with varying degrees of success. How would you like to see Bravo resurrect popular former cast members who are no longer on their shows, / their original show has been canceled? So this is a really great question. I think that Traitors and Girls Trip are fantastic vehicles to bring back beloved former housewives. Traitors for the bigger stars and Girls Trip for a mix of the big stars and women who deserve a potential second chance or another look in a different environment or with different women. But the issue with Girls Trip is that it also doubles as a way for the women to quasi-audition to be brought back full-time, which I think can sometimes, not always, sometimes breed like inauthentic or desperate antics, which doesn't always work. Like I think that kind of informs a little bit of what went down on the fourth season, the Morocco season that we might not ever see. Winterhouse is currently on a break, which I think is needed. I've said it before, but I think that Winterhouse is best utilized as a storyline builder for Summer House and Southern Charm. It gives the potential for cross-pollination in a way that worked really well for Austin and Sierra and the beginnings of Paige and Craig's relationship. Winterhouse being too bloated with people from a bunch of different shows, as it was in season 3, just doesn't work for me. One idea that I think has been thrown around a lot is like some sort of like Bravo competition-y series that could utilize former stars of the network. I think especially like if it being an Olympics year, I think it would have been smart to do something like that. But there's no signs of that ever actually materializing. And the other idea that I've always thought they should do is a Girls Trip for the younger shows. So that could be a potential vehicle for former stars to have a moment as well. Like imagine women from Summer House and Vanderpump Rules and Southern Charm and Family Karma all on a trip together. Like you could get Cameron or Catherine or Chelsea or Naomi from Southern Charm there. Maybe I'll do another mock draft of that soon. I guess the idea could even be co-ed, but then you're sort of getting into Winterhouse territory. So no, let's keep it all women. Let's keep it all women. Let's do Ultimate Girls Trip for the younger shows. I would love that. I'm going to do a mock draft episode for that idea in the coming weeks or months. Put a tab in that. Okay, Jake's Takes on Twitter asks, Hi Gibson, I love you forever for unblocking me, and I'm a loyal listener of your show. Thank you for listening. What do you think Bravo/NBC should or will do with Monica? I understand the women hated her, but she's such good reality TV. Personally, I can't imagine they let her go to waste. Okay, so first of all, I don't remember blocking you, and I don't know why, but congrats on being unblocked whenever that happened. I'm happy to have you listening, and thanks for submitting a question. You know, I agree that she should be kept in this universe 100%. I am not against her being brought back to the show either at some point in the future. I just thought and still think that the show wouldn't have worked given where the reunion ended with all of them not trusting her and being against them. To me, let's ride this wave of the four OGs until it needs major tweaking, like on Potomac. So we've seen they had four OGs through 8 seasons and eventually it hit a wall. So that's probably going to happen on Salt Lake City at some point too. And then maybe at that point, you take some of them out of the mix, you throw Monica back in the mix, and that formula has been sort of rejiggered and they'd be more open to working with her again. I really think that because she is a great reality star. She was good at her job this past season. Yeah, I think there's a future for her at the network. But in case you missed it, Monica is pregnant right now. She went on Nick Vile's podcast, of course, and she announced that she is pregnant. By the way, that interview didn't really give me much, honestly. Like she's still is pretty much completely unapologetic about what happened. And I don't think Nick asked some of the right questions. So that's not worth listening to, by the way. Again, so she is pregnant right now, which means she almost certainly will not be on the third season of The Traitors, which is going to film, I think, really soon. That was everyone's dream for Monica, to see her on season 3 of The Traitors, including mine. She was at the top of my list that I made for Men's Health of the 40 reality stars I would love to see on the next season of The Traitors. But that timing just doesn't seem like it's going to work with her pregnancy. It's a very physical show and those challenges. So I'm not too sure about that. I guess she could be on future seasons. So honestly, I don't know the answer to this. She absolutely helped revitalize Salt Lake City post Jen Shaw. She helped give it a zeitgeist dominating moment to kick off the year. But I'm guessing that at least for now, she's focused on her pregnancy and then raising her newborn. Like, I don't think we'll see her on reality TV for a little bit of time. I just don't know what the opportunity would be. She's not going to be on House of Villains. She's not going to be on The Traitors. Those are the two sort of layups, at least in the NBCU universe. So TBD. But I would love to see Monica back on my TV. Xavier Andrews on Instagram asked, which Bravo celebrity do you have the biggest crush on? West cannot be the answer. I love that you said West cannot be the answer, because he absolutely would have been the answer. To me, West is the future of this fucking network, honestly. So by the way, there are a few big press features I've heard are coming about West, and it's just more evidence that he's truly the future. Like, you know, he's going to be on Bravo for years to come. Everyone loves him. He's refreshing. He's a non-toxic young man on the show. He has style and swag and humor. Like, what's not to love? Like, I love him and Sierra. Him and Andy have an amazing rapport. I loved Andy running into him in a mirror in the West Village last week. Like, he just brings so much refreshing energy, and it's like just so great to watch. But back to Xavier's question, my next biggest crush would probably be Russell, Gertie's husband. I mean, one, he's hot. Two, he's such a gentleman. He's an amazing husband. He's dependable. He doesn't have social media. Like, what more could you want, honestly? Russell for the win. I love Russell. And then the last question for this episode, Ben Dieterle on Instagram asked, if you could be on one of the reality shows, which one would you pick and why? So again, I shared on Sheena's podcast Shenanigans that Hannah Berner actually submitted me for casting on Summer House back in the day, but it didn't work out. I don't think that I was open enough, and I don't think it was the right time or maybe opportunity for me at all. And I'm actually not certain that like having one singular gay guy on that show would really work at this point. I'm obviously open for it to happen, and I would love to see that. And like, not that it definitely couldn't, but it's just a very straight show. And I mean that respectfully, not in a derogative way. I definitely wouldn't work on that show. And I don't know if like just throwing one gay guy in there would necessarily work. But again, I would love to see that representation. I just don't know what that would look like. And I don't know if there's an existing Bravo show that I would personally do or fit in on, really. You know, I think if the Traitors US was non-reality stars, I would absolutely want to do that. The UK version and the Australian version are regular people. So I would love to do that show. I fucking love that show. And I think it would be so fun. But yeah, so like, I guess of like the other reality shows out there, like I think about the legacy competition shows, I would hands down do Big Brother. I think I would be good at it. It's a good combo of the competitions mixed with the social gameplay. Survivor for me is too gritty. I'm too picky of an eater to do that. That would not work. I don't even eat seafood. Like Survivor and me would not mix. I love watching it from the comfort of my couch. And that is my relationship with Survivor. Amazing Race would honestly be really fun. I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know. But all I do know is that I am a free agent right now without a full-time job. So if you're involved in casting or producing, hit me up. Okay, so that is it for the questions on today's listener mailbag episode of Gabbing with Gib. Thanks for listening. There will be an episode of Gabbing with Gib on Friday about the Real Housewives of Potomac. We're going to look back at this season, the reunion, the cast exits, and more. And we're going to try to figure out how the show moves forward. What's the answer? And I also have some other really exciting things lined up. We have some great interviews coming up again, finally. So a lot to look forward to. So thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the show and check back on Friday for a new episode. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.